Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do the show, bitch.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got statue.
Well, if all goes well, this should be the final hour of the week in which we don't hear from Stephen Woods. Because he's going to call in. He's been out sick since Tuesday. Got a coronavirus test yesterday. But he is scheduled to call. He's feeling better. He's going to call in at 8 o'clock. And if the test comes back negative, Paul, today, then he'll be sitting in this chair next to me tomorrow. And we'll be back to normal here on Ben and Woods for Friday and Ben Reed's Wraps and getting ready for the Padres playoff run next week. So my fingers are crossed that everything goes well. Now, if Woods ends up getting a positive coronavirus test,
oh boy,
then I have no idea what's going to happen. Shelley is already, I mean, obviously then I will have to quarantine because I was with him earlier this week. And that means Shelly and my kids will have to quarantine for a couple of weeks as well. Make sure we get, like, negative tests before we move forward. Shelly was supposed to go to, I think, Palm Desert next weekend with a friend and stay at, like, an Airbnb. She'll be so mad that she has to cancel that. So I'll be in trouble for that. Woodsy will just be, basically, he'll be the most despised person in my household if he ends up testing positive. So let's just hope it's a negative test and everything can get back to normal here tomorrow on Ben and Woods. Yesterday, Paulie, we discussed Major Garrett's column in the Claremont Times where he tried to argue that the Padres actually were better off without fans this year, that actually one of the reasons for their success was not having to play in front of an audience that has become trained and accustomed to disappointment. A fan base that, you know, sometimes you get opposing fans in Petco Park, that they actually are doing well this year, not in spite of the empty stadiums, but in fact because of the empty stadiums. And while I understood his reasoning and he made some good points, ultimately, my conclusion was looking at this team and how exciting it is, the style of baseball that they play, how successful they've been, I think Petco Park would have been one of the most electric home atmospheres in all of baseball this season had it been a normal non-pandemic year, and that can only help. It helped the Padres in 1998. I think it would have helped the Padres quite a bit, actually, here in 2020. They might have been even better with fans in the stands. I know that seems almost impossible. They've been one of the best teams in all of baseball, at least until the past couple of days against the Angels. So I disagreed pretty strongly with Major's take on it, as much as I respect him as a Padres fan. Now, you told me earlier that you were in communication with Major late in the day.
Because
I didn't hear anything from Major. I know I thought maybe he'd be mad at me for contradicting him so strongly on the radio yesterday.
Well, he tweeted, you know, when he tweeted the link to that story, he said, hey, have at it. Like, he knew he was going to get crushed either by us, by the listeners, or both. He has agreed. He's going to come on. He's going to join us early next week, so we will get to catch up with Major Garrett talk some Padres and get his rationale for that. He did. We were texting back and forth, though, yesterday. He said, look, my argument wasn't that it's good for fans to not be there. He's saying that it's been better for this team to develop alone and that it's going to make them even better for next year. He said, fans create weird cross currents of pressure and expectation. My whole theory is players who play for each other and see each other without us in the way can sometimes grow tighter and gel faster. I really believe that that has happened. I think Myers, Cronenworth, Profar, and Lamet have blossomed in ways they wouldn't have with the usual hassles, pressures, and scrutiny. So that was kind of him reiterating his thoughts there.
I can kind of buy maybe Will Myers. I mean, you know,
that's what I said. I said the same thing. I said that's kind of hard to argue with. I think Myers in particular.
Yeah, we've tried to explain all season what is behind this turnaround for Will Myers, and you know, he's insisted that he's kind of changed his focus. He's got like his one key that he focuses in on, and he's just been very consistent with sticking with that. But there, you know, there could be something to the fact that he's not playing in front of an audience. I mean, I've never had, you know, a big crowd watching me play a sporting event, but when I played golf competitively and there were a bunch of people standing around watching, there was a different feeling than when you're just playing out by yourself or just playing in a foursome and there's no gallery out there. I mean, a gallery in Division III is like 7 people as opposed to 0 people, but still the 7 people could make you a little more nervous in certain ways than the 0 people. So I can see that. Especially with Will Myers. But it was a take I know a lot of you disagreed with. If you've got thoughts, you can join us. 833-288-0973. We've also been talking about the injury to Mike Clevinger. I wouldn't expect – you might get a little bit of an update today, but I'm sure the Padres are going to wait as long as possible before making any big moves, you know, putting him on the injured list or anything. They don't have to do anything today. They are off in San Francisco, bubbled in their – hotel and don't have to play until a doubleheader tomorrow. So no urgency in making some sort of immediate decision on what his future looks like. So that'll probably be a slower developing situation moving forward. What is also developing slowly is trying to figure out who the Padres are going to play in the first round of the playoffs. Jace Tingler acknowledged this week they probably won't know until Sunday afternoon, maybe Sunday evening. After everything shakes out, maybe even Monday, if they end up needing to, you know, play like an extra game, you know, teams that didn't play the full 60, just to finally get some clarity on who the fifth seed is going to be in the National League. And I've been telling you, Paul, all week how close this race is. It's never been closer than it is right now. Let me go through the possibilities for you.
Please do.
At the moment, the Padres are one win away from clinching the fourth seed, or one Cardinals loss away from clinching the fourth seed. They are the second place team in the National League West behind the Dodgers. The Cardinals right now at 27-26 after losing to the Royals yesterday are currently the 5 seed in the National League. But they are only percentage points ahead of the Cincinnati Reds, who are 29-28. The Reds have played 4 more games than the Cardinals, but are 1 game above 500, just like the Cardinals are, in third place in the National League Central. The Miami Marlins, the second place team in the National League East, would currently be the 6th seed. They're 28-28, so they're just a half a game behind the Cardinals and the Reds. And then you have the Phillies at 28-29, and the Brewers at 27-28, who are just 1 game behind the Cardinals. So you're going all the way down to the 8th seed that is just a game out of the 4th seed right now in the National League. And that doesn't include the Giants, who can't catch the Padres, so they can't be the 5th seed because they can't finish in 2nd place. They can only be the 7th or the 8th seed, but they're also 28-27 in the National League playoffs. So any one of those teams other than the Giants could be the Padres' opponent in the first round. The Cardinals, the Marlins, the Reds, the Phillies or the Brewers. And not all of those teams can even make the playoffs. They someone's going to be left out in that group. In fact, two of those teams at the end of the day, between the Giants, Reds, Cardinals, Marlins, Phillies, and Brewers, won't even make the postseason. One of them will be as high as the fifth seed and take on the Padres. And it all will end up being determined this weekend in what's going to be a very wild finish here, Paul, to the National League.
Yeah, so St. Louis and Milwaukee, they play this weekend. They have a doubleheader on Friday. Philadelphia is at Tampa Bay. And who am I missing? Cincinnati. They are playing in Minnesota this weekend. So
yeah, so
some baseball to be played this weekend. Now, do you know? Is there any possibility that it could come down to a tiebreaker situation? Is there any chance they play? Any teams have to play to figure this out, or will they just go to a tiebreaker rule?
There's no tiebreaker games.
Okay.
Now, a team might have to play. Like the Cardinals could have to play on Monday, because they won't be at 60 yet, and they have games that they haven't made up against the Detroit Tigers because of a COVID situation earlier in the season. But baseball has already said there's no game 61s this year. They will go to a long list of tiebreakers to figure it out. But these you just mentioned the matchups this weekend. You've got the Phillies, the Reds, and the Marlins are all on the road against good American League teams. The Phillies in Tampa Bay, who have already clinched the AL East, the Reds in Minnesota, who are fighting for a playoff spot in the American League Central, and the Marlins are at the New York Yankees, who have clinched a playoff spot and second place in the American League East. But you also don't know how much those teams are going to have to play for, and you know which starters how they're going to use. So it could be an advantage or a disadvantage. And then you've got the Cardinals going up against the Brewers. The one thing I could probably say, unless they split those games. And they're playing a doubleheader, so they're playing, what, five games still this weekend in 4 days?
Yeah.
Unless they go, like, 3-2 or 2-3, whoever wins that series is almost certainly in the playoffs, and the team that loses that series will probably be knocked out of the playoffs. So they both kind of control their own destiny head-to-head in that five-game series between the Cardinals and the Brewers. But it is going to be an absolute wild finish, and unless something wacky happens in the next, you know, 2 or 3 days in which one team wins all their games and the other team struggle, Padres won't even know until Sunday at the very earliest, and maybe even Monday, who they're going to end up taking on in that best of three first round wild card series.
You think the team's doing a whole lot of scoreboard watching? Like, I mean, they still got to worry about their own business, lock up that home field advantage in the four seed, but I mean, really, there's nothing that they can really do, right?
Yeah, until I kind of doubt it. I mean, if it was two teams and it was one or the other, you can say, hey, we'll scout both of them, and then we'll watch the scoreboard and figure out who we're going to play. When it's five teams and it changes on a day-to-day basis which one is sitting there in the five seed, it seems kind of pointless.
Because they'll have, two and a half days to get ready. And,
yeah, just tell me on Monday who we're playing, and we'll start scouting.
It's a 99.9% chance it's going to be at home, so they really don't have to worry about where they're going to travel or anything like that.
Exactly. Paulie, did we have any dip-esque tweets from yesterday's 5-2 loss to the Angels?
What do you think?
The Padres lose the game.
Dang it!
You lose your mind.
F you!
The Padres win the game.
Huzzah!
You still lose your mind.
Go to hell, pro sports.
It's time for your dip tweets of the night.
Gotta go to hell, sports.
Who made the cut today, Paulie?
Oh, well, we don't reveal any names, Ben. You know that.
Number one.
This first one says, y'all got sweep, and shut out by the Angels in the same season. When's the last time y'all won a division title? Dodger fans love, I don't know, we can't say it enough. The Dodgers fans love to flaunt the division title card right in front of our faces, and I just don't understand that. I mean, that's like being happy, you know, you have nothing to show for it. I mean, they're making fun of the Padres for getting second place. Who knows about second place better than the Dodgers?
Well, it's bold because the Dodgers now have to face the Angels this weekend, an Angels team that is still in it. And we'll have a lot to play for. They could sweep that series and catch the Astros and make the playoffs, where the Dodgers have nothing to play for. So he may be eating his words, whoever that was, by the end of the weekend.
Number two.
This one says, Tingler managing like Green lately. Why would you pinch hit for a guy that was 2-for-3 Profar instead of GG, who was 0 for 3. Overall, offense is in the crapper right now. It's not necessarily wrong. The offense hasn't been great, but this team's won 34 ball games. I think that's a bit slanderous to compare Jace Tingler to Andy Green.
Well, in the ninth inning, yesterday,
Andy Green would have sold his soul to be 34-22.
Yeah, the Padres had got two runners on, brought the tying run to the plate. With one out, Greg Garcia came up. And I did actually have that thought. I'm going, I don't know if I wouldn't rather have a power hitter here that could tie the game with one swing of the bat. And then Garcia popped out, flew out, and they then used the pinch hitter for Profar and brought Moreland up, who's been slumping, and he ended up lining out, and Mike Trout made a diving catch to end the game. But I think the thinking is pretty standard there, that Mitch Moreland is more of that power hitter, and if he gets a hold of one swing, you might be more likely to get a home run. But I don't know, Profar has been, honestly, their hottest hitter over the last week and had two hits earlier in the game. Is he going to hit a home run? You know, not likely, but you don't win the game with a home run. You just tie it. I probably would have left Profar in there to try to get on base, and then maybe Grisham comes up and he gets the, you know, grand slam to win it, or, you know, just keep the inning going and get the rally that way. Putting your coldest hitter in Mitch Moreland up in that situation, I don't know. I kind of agree with the Dip-S tweet in this. Yeah. Okay, comparing Andy Green to Jace Tingler, whatever. That's stupid. In this particular case, I question Jace Tingler's decision-making.
Number three.
And this one from a member of the media, actually, with a blue check mark next to his name, says, Trent Grisham is 1-for-19 since the homer versus the Dodgers up to the minute. The hit was a single 8 days ago. Meanwhile, L.A. has won 6 of 7 in the division. Stay classy, San Diego. I don't know. It's,
is that true? Is Trent Grisham that cold? I would not have guessed that.
He hasn't been playing well, but I would say that's an embarrassment from a verified member of the media.
I know he hasn't been as hot as he was lately, but I had no idea. Well, let's, you know what? Okay, yeah, he doesn't have any hits, but until yesterday when he went 0 for 4, Trent Grisham, I believe, had reached base safely in 17 straight games. Now, he walked a lot. He walked 3 times in the series opener against the Angels, walked twice against the Mariners on Sunday, got hit by a pitch on Saturday to get on, walked on and scored 2 runs on Friday, walked twice against the Dodgers on Wednesday, and then he had the hit back on Tuesday and the home run on Monday. So, I think every guy is going to go through slumps. If you can mitigate those slumps by still reaching base and still getting on, that's actually a good thing. That kind of shows positive for Trent Grisham. I like the fact that he's not letting the slump keep him from contributing in other ways. So, all right, those are your Dip-S tweets. Don't do this is coming up next here on Ben and Woods. And, Paulie, today I have a newspaper company that pulled, I think, just a ridiculous stunt on its own employees.
Oh, my God, I saw this.
Did you see this one? Yeah. This one kind of made me mad when I saw it. So we'll bring that up coming up next. Right now, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.